you're here today. It seems that we have an unusually large number of parents of students in our presence. We had one of the largest 8 o'clock crowds that we've had in a long time. And we have several of you here at this time, and we're just grateful that you're here. I want to mention something this morning by way of a compliment, and I think it will help us also to have appreciation. Mike Womble is working with us now as our youth minister and working with our young people, and we appreciate what he's doing. Friday afternoon, at about the time Mike and the young people were getting ready to go on the trip, the Green family from Cookeville, who were to be our house guests this weekend, arrived in town, and because of miscommunication, the key had not been left for them where they thought it would be. They got in earlier than we thought, and we got in later than they anticipated. So not finding the key at the house, he came down to the office, and Mike was running about getting ready for the trip. Jim Green told him the situation, and Mike said, "Here's my key. Go to our house, to my house, and spend the night." There are two things that I think are true and apparent when you think about that. Number one, I'm surprised that a young bachelor would have his house clean enough to invite anybody to stay. And it was. I went and checked it later, Mike. But more than that, I think it tells us something about the young man that we have working with our young people, who even as he's busy about something else is ready to do what he can to help a situation. And Mike, we appreciate that and appreciate what you're doing. Now let's bring our minds back to the last song that we sang and the scripture that was read. The same idea was contained in both of them, where Paul said, "I know whom I've believed, and am persuaded or convinced that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." A feeling of security is one of the most important feelings that you and I can have. The reality, the assurance of security is so important. It's important from a national standpoint. We want to feel secure as far as our nation is concerned. We want to feel that we can defend ourselves, and we want to be able to go to bed at night believing that if we were attacked by another nation, that we have the wherewithal to take care of us, and because of that, we feel secure. We like to feel secure as far as the family situation is concerned, especially from the area of finances. To know that we have enough income to make us basically feel secure, to meet our needs, is a wonderful feeling. And when we don't have that, sometimes we suffer even emotionally. And folks, being able to feel secure spiritually is so important. Having the assurance of salvation is so needed. I wish it were possible, and it is possible, really, for each one of us to go to bed tonight in complete assurance and with a feeling of security that no matter what happens, even if God calls in death any one of us, or he were to decide to end the whole thing and this world ceases, that we would be ready to meet God and to go to live with him. I don't know that there's anything that's more important than that. Being able to have the spiritual security relative to our salvation is so important. Listen to a description of 3 events that I remember. One was a conversation with a person who said something like this: "I wish I could know that I'm saved." Whereupon I asked the question, "Well, have you been baptized into Christ for the remission of sins?" "Oh, yes." "Are you regularly worshiping God?" "Oh, yes, I never miss a service." "Well, are you treating people in the right way and trying to serve people and be kind and gentle in your family. And, oh, yes, I have a wonderful relationship with other people. And I believe that I've obeyed the gospel, and I believe I'm worshiping right, and I believe that I'm a Christian, but I just wish I could know. Wish I didn't have these doubts. Sometimes I go to bed at night, the person says, and I lie awake just wondering and thinking and worrying about my salvation. I have some concern about that person. But another occasion comes to mind where I was talking to a young woman, I guess in her late 20s. I knew, according to my understanding of the Bible, that she had not become a Christian. I knew, according to my understanding of God's Word, that when she attended a religious service on Sunday morning, she was not worshiping as I understood the Bible to teach. And I was trying to teach her, and she said this, "I know I'm already saved." And I said, "How do you know it?" She said, "I've got it right here. I've got it right here. I feel it. I know it." And then she said, "I wouldn't swap my feelings for a stack of Bibles. I know I'm saved." I'm concerned about that person. And I believe somewhere between these two extremes, we will arrive at the truth as we look at God's Word. The person who is committed to doing God's will but cannot feel any security and assurance, and the person who doesn't really care what God's will says, who has the false assurance of salvation. A third occasion, I sat in an audience and listened to a young preacher of the gospel preach on this subject using one passage, and basically one passage only. He turned to John 13:35 and read that we know that we are the disciples of Christ when we have love for one another. And he explained the verse and talked about brotherly love in a great way as far as brotherly love is concerned. And then said, "Here is the way that we can know without any doubt that we are Christians and we are saved if we have love for one another." I left that service, went home, and turned on the television. And for several minutes, watched a newscast interviewing people in another part of the world, people who were Muslims. And I saw expressed by those people an outstanding love for one another. I saw them expressing their love in their families and among themselves, a love that in many instances was so great that they were willing to die for one another. And I applied the principle that I had just heard, as long as we love one another, that proves we're Christians. And I had a problem. A little later on, I happened to be watching the movie Bonnie and Clyde. And I determined that Bonnie and Clyde loved each other. But I did not conclude that they were Christians. And I watched some of the scenes in that movie where the mafia was involved, and some other movies especially where they were, and where some of the criminals were involved, where the groups of criminals were together. And I noticed the dedication they had to each other and the love that they had for one another. And applying that principle, I asked, now, are these folks Christians because they love one another? Folks, we need to have assurance of our salvation. We need to feel secure. But we need to be sure that we base it on the proper evidence. Our lesson today is dealing with evidences of our salvation. And when the lesson is over, I want you to remember three words. If you don't remember anything else, and those three words are internal, external, and eternal. Internal evidences, external evidences, and eternal evidences. And as we look at these, remember the teaching of Jesus in passages like Matthew 18, where he said that it's understood that at the mouth of two or three witnesses, something is established. Not just one witness, but at the mouth of two or three witnesses, something is established. And if we're going to have security and a feeling of assurance, we need something to be established on which we can build that security and base our assurance without any question. Even Jesus recognized, as he taught over there in John 5, that if I just say I'm the Son of God and I don't have anything else to be another witness, that's not enough. And he went ahead and gave four others in that passage. He had five witnesses there to the fact that he was deity, that he was the Son of God. And he was saying, and the young man that preached this sermon just out of one verse and drew all of his conclusions just out of one verse and one witness would need to look at this. Jesus was saying that even the fact that I'm the Son of God is not accepted if it's just one witness. Or at least it may not be accepted, and so there's a need for more. So this morning I want to give you three witnesses to our salvation. Can we know that we are saved? Yes. Can we think that we are saved and not be saved? Yes. We can have false witnesses. But we can know in the right way that we are saved and that we have the promise of heaven itself. I believe with all my heart that if I were to die today, I'll go to heaven. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be up here preaching. I'd be looking at what I could do to make it that way, because I want to go to heaven more than anything else. Now, I've made mistakes this week just like you have. And if God allows me to continue to live and allows you to continue to live, we'll make more mistakes. But I have the internal evidence, the internal witness that I'm a Christian. 1 Corinthians 2:11 says, "What man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit that dwells in him? My own spirit that dwells within my body is involved in the evidence of my salvation, and your own spirit is involved in the evidence of your salvation." Because you see, that part of me that dwells within my body, or that part of you that dwells within yours, that includes the intellect, the emotions, the will, and the conscience, that spirit that dwells within the body is capable of drawing a conclusion and being a witness to a fact or to a belief within the mind of that particular person. I believe this was being indicated to some extent in Romans 8:16 when he says that the Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit. And we'll come back to this passage later in the lesson. But at this point, notice it bears witness with my spirit or with our spirits that we are the children of God. One of the witnesses in that passage is my spirit, the spirit that dwells within me. Therefore, there is an internal evidence of my salvation. John addresses this in 1 John 5:13 and also in 1 John 3:24, as in some other passages in that book. And particularly in 3:24, he says something about my dwelling in Christ and Christ dwelling in me and his spirit dwelling in me. And in Galatians 2:20, Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live and he lives in me." You remember that passage. Therefore, from the internal aspect of it all, I'm able to have evidence within my own thinking, within my own spirit, within myself, that I am a child of God and I have the promise of heaven when this life is over. That's the internal evidence. But there is to be external evidence. And this is the evidence that was being talked about in John 13:35. And the evidence is great if it's not taken out of context by itself. "Hereby we know that we are his disciples, because we have love for the brethren." That is an evidence. That is a witness to my salvation. And when we see those of us within this congregation or within the body of Jesus Christ reaching out to care for one another, weeping with those that weep, rejoicing with those that rejoice, expressing concern, loving one another, and helping one another. We have another evidence of our salvation. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Notice he says we know. That's evidence. Verse 17, he talks about compassion and helping one another. Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Now, he didn't say that this external evidence comes because somebody else tells me that I'm a Christian. I could listen to you describe your life, and then I could say, well, now I know that you're a Christian. And that doesn't prove it. I could be wrong. God's not. I suppose if we took a vote this morning, of those of you in the audience, at least those of you who are here regularly and know me, if I were to ask how many of you believe that I'm saved, I think we'd get nearly 100%. But that's not enough proof in and of itself. This external evidence is not taking a vote. It's not necessarily saying to each other that we believe we're Christians, but it's by the proof that is there and what is done. By their fruits ye shall know them. Twice said in Matthew 7. By your deeds, by the truth, deeds and truth, we shall know that we have passed from death to life. We shall know that we're in Christ. This is the external evidence. And it's one of the witnesses that is needed. There's internal evidence. I can know from within my own thinking, emotional process, what I've done and what I believe, and find assurance. There is the external evidence that is proved by our actions and our deeds, especially in our love for one another. And then there is the eternal evidence. Look here in this chapter in a verse that we've already noticed, 1 John 3:24. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us. How? Keeping his commandments. Over in the 13th verse of the 5th chapter, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. We know based on that which is written. And back to the 2nd chapter of 1 John verse 5, whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, and hereby know we that we are in him. And folks, the reason I call this the eternal witness is that the word of God shall never pass away. Matthew 24:35. The word of God shall be there in the day of judgment by which we shall be judged. John 12:48. Out of the things written in the books, Revelation 20, verse 12, the eternal word of God is used as an eternal witness or an eternal evidence to my salvation. Now, when you put these three together, you've got something. You take either one of them apart and you're lacking. Even the eternal witness of God is not enough unless there's the internal particularly to go with it. I know people, and you do too, who believe what the Word of God says, but they haven't done anything about it. They have the evidence in the Word of God of what it takes to be a Christian and live a Christian, but they've never applied it. And so either of these three witnesses by self is not enough, but when you put the three together, you've got something that gives us assurance and security to the extent that you and I can leave this building this morning secure and assured of our salvation. You see, when you take the eternal witness and you read this word of God that's going to be there for an eternity, shall never cease, and you find what God demands for one to become a child of God and what he wants one to do to live as a child of God, how he wants him to treat the brethren, you've got the eternal witness. And then when you do that, and you know within your own heart that you have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine that's been delivered, Romans 6:17. You have shown your faith in penitence through confession and being baptized for the remission of sins. And you know, based upon the eternal witness, that you have now become a Christian, and you know within your heart that you're doing your best to serve God. And you know that when you make mistakes, that you're hooked up to the blood supply of Jesus that'll take care of those mistakes. On a continuing basis of cleansing our sins, 1 John 1:7. And you know within your own spirit, internally, you know that you have done and are doing what God has given you in that eternal witness, and then you let that internal belief of the eternal witness lead you to externally serve your brethren and have the fruits that are there and have the love for the brethren. There's a combination that gives us the security that cannot be found anywhere else. An internal witness I can know within my own spirit. An external witness I can know with my love for the brethren. And an eternal witness I can know from that which is written. And you combine those three witnesses, and they'll stand up in the court of God. And you and I can know, not based on false hope, but a hope that anchors the soul, Hebrews 6:19. Not based just upon feeling, but feeling good about that which is proven by the Word of God. We've got too many people today that are proving their salvation by their feelings instead of proving their salvation by the Word of God and then feeling good about what is proven in the Word of God. There's no reason, there is no earthly reason, or even heavenly reason, for anyone in this audience to have to go to bed tonight without the assurance of salvation. And yet I would imagine that there are some of you sitting in this audience today who know that you're not a Christian. You know what to do, but you know you have not done it. And there may be some in the audience today who know that they are out of service and they need to be restored and they need to come back and make things right and be right with God again. You know that. And if you would just do what God says within a few minutes, you could know that you have done what God wants you to do. We can know when we combine the internal, the external, and the eternal. And we could all tonight pillow our heads in the peace that passeth all understanding with the security that's found only in God. And based on these witnesses that we've discussed. If you do not know that you're a Christian based upon these points, you need to come to Christ as together we stand and sing. Delight, things that are higher, things that